Father, we commit this time before you, and we ask that you help everyone to understand your words, to know you, and touch our hearts and minds. We commit this time before you, in Jesus' name, Amen. Today I'm starting a new series. I'm going to talk about there are 8 men in Genesis, and God's willing, I'm going to talk about Adam first. This is such a beautiful world. If you go out there in the wilderness or even have some good scenery, you'll find, wow, the world is so beautiful. The sunrise, sunset, very calm, very peaceful. But yet, when you look at other parts of the world, it doesn't look that good. That's Tehran a few days ago. Why? Such a beautiful world becomes like that. All this death, all this destruction, and behind all this, all that hate, all that anger behind all this. What's wrong with this world? If you are a teenager, my friend, you are facing a world like this. What will happen in the coming weeks? We know the oil prices are going higher. You may not worry about the food on the table, but your parents do. How much I'm going to pay for that? How, even though we are so far away in Australia, the war is in Middle East, but yet it affects us all. What's wrong? It seems the problem is outside, the missiles flying around, the aircraft carriers, all this. It seems so far away, and yet the real problem is not outside. If you are smart, you know something wrong inside. Not inside the man that pushing the button, but also inside humanity. Inside you, there are problems. You may look good outside, but what's deep in your heart? Who would like to know? It seems we are lost in darkness. We don't know where we are going. So many young people nowadays don't have an identity problem. They worry so much how people look at them, how people make fun of you, mock at you. We worry so much our self-image, how people look at us. But what is inside us? Face your hearts. In the Bible, it says our hearts are being filled with all unrighteousness. Think about the list. There may be some tick you is in your heart. Sexual immorality, wickedness. Do you have wickedness in your heart? Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. Are you always true? Do you try to deceive someone? Evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. Do you talk back to your parents or your whisperers? Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud. Are you proud in your heart? Boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh, can you think of evil doings in your heart? Disobedient to parents. Ah, young people, disobedient to parents. Would you put a tick under it? Is that you? Undiscerning, untrustworthy. Can I trust you with something? Unloving. Do you show loving care to other siblings? Do you always fight with your sisters? You take that from me. It's not fair. Is that your home life? Unloving or unforgiving, unmerciful. So what is your home life? Don't blame the war or don't blame America. Think about what's inside you. That's the problem. So you may ask, why? Why would God, what's wrong, God, when you created heaven and earth? Why would you create something wrong with him or with her or with me? Something wrong in my heart. What's wrong with it? What is the purpose of creation? Yeah, some part looks so beautiful, but it can turn out to be so ugly. Something's wrong. God, are you so smart? Are you the great designer of all things? There's something wrong with you, is it? We may ask. So what is the role of man in creation? Why do you create man? Why there are so many defects in man's heart and in our life? Why do people lie? Why do people fight? Why do he get angry with me and we are envy or jealous with each other? What's wrong with man? We want peace. We want a peaceful life. We want to enjoy life. Why? What is the role of man? What's wrong with man? And what's the man in God's heart? Is this the right man? Is this sinful man? Is that why you created man? So that you destroy him later on? No. So what we would like to ask God, what is the real man in your life, in your heart? I watched a TV series called MasterChef in the past. They take a bowl of soup with many ingredients in the soup, and they ask the MasterChef to come up, taste this. What do you find? What's inside the soup? Can you taste? Some people say garlic. Some people say celery. Some people say tomatoes. Yeah, yes, you're right. So what's in that soup? There are different ingredients in that soup. So the perfect soup has many ingredients. So what is the man in God's heart? What kind of man? How come the whole soup spoiled? How come it becomes man's filled with all ugliness, unrighteousness, evil in man's heart? When you look at man's heart, oh, it's spoiled, it's damaged, it's horrible, sinful in man's heart. But is that what's got in mind in the beginning? So God, can you tell us what's the ingredient you want in man's life? What are you looking for? How can we achieve? How can we turn back to the one you want? So in the book of Genesis, it starts to talk about the purpose of God, the will of God. And means there are 8 men in Genesis. Each one, we can find some special characteristic, just like the soup. Ah, the soup has garlic. The soup has lemon. You can find different flavor in the soup. Similarly, in God's heart, man, there are some special characteristic God wants in man. God wants that characteristic in your life. So today I'm going to look at the first man, Adam. What can we know about Adam? But before we know about Adam, let's go to somewhere in the beginning. What is the purpose of creation? How did it started? When we look at Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So as if God coming to a workshop and he started creating heaven and earth. He created heaven and earth. And we know something wrong with this. And later on, when you open the Bible, God tells us his logbook, how he started the job. In chapter 1, he started creating heaven and earth. And then something go wrong. And we skip all, if you are a lazy person, you skip all the passages in between, and you come to the last book, the last 2 chapters. What did you see? In Revelation chapter 21, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You see, God has not stopped. He still created a new heaven, a new earth, because the first earth has passed away. So now we look back, we say, oh, the first creation, Genesis chapter 1, till to the almost the whole Bible talks about the old creation. And this seems to be a transition period. And God will bring out the new heaven and new earth. Now we see something. The old heaven, the old creation, is just like a transition period. God is preparing someone or something for the new creation. Just like when a woman got pregnant, the baby is in the womb. So by the time the baby in the womb is like one stage. But one day when the baby is mature, formed, and then the woman gives birth to the child. So the baby instantly go into a next stage. So I would say the old creation is like pregnancy for mankind. Mankind in old creation is being transformed. Get ready for the new heaven and new earth. So while you are here today, when you are sitting here today, God is working in you. We are just like baby in the womb. Mankind are like baby in the womb. We suffer. We go through pain. We go through lost. We go through difficult times, just like the baby in the womb. But that's not the end, because God has prepared something eternal, new heaven and new earth. So your life on earth has a meaning. It's for us to grow, just like the baby in the womb. As we grow, we learn something. We are changing, learning, changing. And God is preparing you. There's a purpose in life. There's a purpose with all things happen to you today. Happy things, sad things, all come to you has a purpose. God is preparing you for eternity, for the new heaven and new earth. The old thing will pass away. So this is a transition state for mankind. Okay? So what is the role of man in God's, in the old creation? God says, let us make man. So for the first 5 days, God created the sun, the moon, separating the water from the land. On sixth day, He created animals. And on the sixth day, He says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So man seems to be, has a very special role in God's heart. God has prepared everything ready, and then to bring up man, come forward. Imagine like this, the parents are happy for the new child coming. So he prepared the room, this baby toy, this the mobile for the baby, this is the bed for the baby. So he got everything, all the nappies, all the milk powder, all the milk bottles, everything get ready, and now the baby comes. Similarly, when God created heaven and earth, everything ready. And then, let us make man. Man is special because it's God says, in our image. That means God wants man to be like him. Would you like a turtle to look like you? If there's a turtle crawling here, would you like to see that turtle has a face like you? Oh, that turtle looked like Rebecca. Then Rebecca got very angry. Turtle look like me? That doesn't look. I won't give my image to that turtle. Okay? Unless it's a beautiful baby or a beautiful child, that looks like me. So we can see when God gives his image to mankind, he loves you and me. Now this image does not mean the eye, the nose, exactly the physical features. I think the image speaks of God can love, we can love. God can make his decision, we can make his decision. God can work, so he gave us hand, so we can build something. God can see, so he created eyes, so we can see. We have the function, similar function. God can hear. So he created ears for us. Doesn't mean that God has a big ear, but it means that God can hear. So he created us, give us ears. So in this image, that means we can hear, we can see, we can work, we can run, we can walk, we can do things like him. So in God's image, according to our likeness, so our temperament should be like him. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So God is not creating a robot, a tree doesn't move. He gave us dominion. That means we have the authority. We have the power over the sea. We can exercise our discernment. We can exercise, okay, you birds, stay there. I don't have to mow the lawn. You sheep, eat the grass. Okay, so we don't have to, we can give orders to the animals. How nice that would be, isn't it? So we can have dominion over the birds, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping things that creeps on earth. So we can see when creation, we see that God loves man. That man has a special place in God's heart. And more than that, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So one, God wants life to grow, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. See, I've given you every herb that yields each seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. So he provides our need. So God, in God's mind, he created us to enjoy, to exercise. He shared responsibility. He gave us responsibility. He gives us wisdom like him. We can make decisions. We can create like him. So God loves man, and we want to share of his likeness and power. So that is old creation. We know something wrong in the old creation, but what's the future of man? What's the role of man in new creation, new heaven, new earth? In the future, it's in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. So in the future, we can still see God wants man to be with him, his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, with them. Do you want to be with God? Not that much, maybe, but God wants to be with you. In old heaven, old earth, God created man and woman. But in new heaven and new earth, God has many sons. Many people will be with him. And what do they experience throughout the old creation? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. As if in that old creation time, they cry for some reason. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Death, sorrow, crying in the old creation. We experience this, but God promised us in new creation, there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So remember I talked about, as the baby in the mother's womb, yeah, there may be difficult times in that situation. We experience some hard times in old creation, which means our days on earth. Today on this earth, you may cry, you may have sorrow, you may have suffered loss, you may have pain. Yes, but all it ends up to bring us into eternity to be with God. All these things will pass away. There's a meaning for this thing. It helps us to grow. You may not like it, but that helps us to grow. And when all this thing pass away, we become, in this new heaven and new earth, I would say we become the new man God wants. So old heaven, old earth will pass away. The sinner's life will pass away. But throughout this hard time on earth, we transform to be the new man in new heaven and new earth, where God wants. So isn't that give us a bright future? Where are you? Would you be a part in this new heaven and new earth? So what's wrong with man? So in the just now we talk about God created man and earth, give them the image, give them the God's likeness. So in Genesis chapter 3, we know about the fall of man. But before we go back to that, we see what happened. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So man, you may sit here, you know there's a God. Even though God is invisible to you, his attributes, his characters are clearly seen. God is powerful. God is smart. Being understood by the things that are made, when we study sciences, when we look at physics, look at study chemistry, biology, we study things and we can know things that are made with his, that we can understand his power, and we have no excuse. God is there. There is a creator. So being an atheist is totally unreasonable, because when you see the creation, you can see there are laws. If there are no laws behind, how can you study physics? Because there are first law, second law, you know, all this, that everything is, there's someone setting up all the world like that. So, because we have a powerful God. And why do people live in a sinful life? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Now this is what's wrong. Someone know there's a God, but their attitude is, I don't want to have anything to do with him. I want to do it my way. I want to go my direction. Leave me alone, God. I want to do this. Nothing can stop me. I want to go there. Nothing can stop me. When I get angry, I don't care. When I'm in bad mood, I don't care about God anymore. They are being unthankful to God. They don't glorify him. They don't pay honor to him. If you come to a house, you see the owner. Oh, your house is so beautiful. You pay respect to that owner of the house, isn't it? When I visit, if I go to your house, I can't go to your room, sit on in, eat your things from your refrigerator, wear your slippers, use your cup. I can't do it because I have to respect you. You are the owner. It's not mine. You are the owner. I pay you respect. I have to give you glory. But people use all things. We breathe the air you breathe, the water you drink. It's all from him. And you pay him no respect? How rude. If I go into your room, sit on your chair, lie on your bed, how rude. What a rude person. But if you enjoy this world without paying attention, thank God for the food. Thank God for the nice weather. If you are not thankful, how rude are you? Isn't it? So because men ignore God, put God aside, totally deny him, then they became futile and the thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. If you ask me what's wrong, is man depart from God. What's wrong in our life? We want to live our life without God. That's the problem. We are created to be like Him. Just like a glove was made like the image of the hand, isn't it? So the glove is not just looks like the hand, but is for the hand to go into the glove and fill it up. So our body, our whole life is made in the image of God. What is the best things to go inside? Let God come into your life. Fill up your life. But you rejected God, then this glove becomes empty. Filled with rubbish. Filled with evil. Filled with sin. So your life, what's the problem? The problem is, when there's no God in your life, that is the problem. That is the problem, when no God in your life. And let's see. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. You think the wrong thing, to do the things which are not fitting. Doing all the wrong things, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, just like the list I've given you just now. So you see, that's a step by step. When you rejected God, you don't want to know about Him, then you start to think in the wrong direction. And then you start to live in the wrong direction. You do the wrong thing. Think the wrong way, do the wrong thing. What happens? You got to live a wrong life. Sorrow, pain, disappointment, lost. All this thing. Destroy this world. Not only destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your relationship with friends, destroy the whole world. So the problem does not lies with the missiles, the tanks. Don't blame them. Man designed them, invented them. The problem lies in our hearts. Not other people's heart, lies in your heart. Because in your heart, if there's no God, sooner or later, you become someone horrible. Destroying not just your life, but destroying your family. Destroying your country. Destroying the world. You can. You have that potential to be the destroyer of everything if there's no God in your life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means our life should glorify God. Let people see God in your life. But if there's no God, just like a light bulb with no electricity going in, it darkens. It's no use. The light bulb doesn't shine. It's no use. Purposeless. Your life is like a ruined light bulb. Okay? So when we have God, we shine. So this is the problem. What's wrong with man? Man without God. So that's why we talk about Adam. Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now God has done something very special here. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Of course, many Sunday school students will know this story, I suppose. The knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Now, when I was younger, I always have problem with this. Why would a loving parent put a poisonous lolly in front of the kid? You know the kid loves lolly? When you say, don't touch it, of course he will touch it. Don't eat it, of course he will eat it. So why would a loving parent, he should take away all the danger away. Would you put a bomb in a kid's hand? No. Would you put a gun in a little child's hand? Boom, pow, pow, pow. You get killed. So you won't do that, isn't it? But why would God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the garden, yes, there are so many trees. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. So remember, God does not take away all trees, but only one tree that is knowledge of good and evil. Then Adam said, I got no choice, only one tree. But there are so many trees available, but only one tree you could not eat. So we always focus on that. What's in your mind, God? Are you trying to trick man? Are you set up a trap to kill Adam? No. So why would God put the tree there? That's the problem. So, of course, here comes the serpent, which is, we can say, Satan. He comes to the woman, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is not in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So the serpent come to the woman and say something. This is what the serpent said. You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Now he's saying something bad about God, but God has a bad intention. God doesn't want you to be like him. God doesn't love you at all. If you have that tree, you can be like God. You won't die. God is lying to you. So that's Satan. Satan's trick is to tell us not to put our faith in God. Why? Because God does not really love you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't want you to be good. He takes away some part of the blessing. He doesn't want you to be like him. In fact, of course, this is a lie, because God created man in his own image. God wants man to be like him. But the serpent says bad things about God, and the woman believes her, and the woman saw that tree. The more you look at it, the more it's attracting. The tree was good for food. The more you look at it, the more it looks tasty, yummy. It was pleasant to the eyes. The more you look at it, pleasant. I like it. I like it. And the tree desirable to make one wise. If I have it, if I just have it, I can be wise as God. So she took of its fruit and ate. Boom. She also gave her husband with her and he ate. Sometimes the wives cut some fruits for the husband. Sometimes my wife cut some apples and bring it before me. Okay, good. I just take the apples without thinking much about where does it come from, isn't it? But I don't think Adam was like that. He knows where does it come from. So he has a part in it. He can't blame, I don't know, the woman gave it to me. He knows. Otherwise, God won't judge him like that. And he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Then they feel the shame. Someone may even imagine, before that, their light shines like God. And after that, suddenly, just like the light bulb turns off, goes back, doesn't shine anymore. So they realize they are naked. Well, that's some people think. But anyway, we know something. Immediately, they know they have sinned against God. So the main problem is, why did God plant the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden? What does God want from Adam? What can we learn from Adam? God wants, let me put it this way, God loves Adam, give him everything. God wants man to be with him in eternity. But is that the will of man? I want to be with you. I want to be with you forever. But you say, but I don't want to be with you. You love me, but I don't love you. Can I have a choice? So, in eternity, when God wants man to be with him, these men must choose love God. He must choose to be with him. So what God wants from Adam is, Adam, you can choose. And how you choose speaks of what you love. So we talk about free will. What does free will mean? What do you want to drink? Tea or coffee? Now you can choose, isn't it? Tea or coffee. Does it matter? Tea or coffee? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Tea or coffee doesn't matter. But when it comes to something like that, you want to follow your way or follow my way, you have to choose. You want to be with me or away from me? That is, you have to choose. So God gives lots of trees in the garden, man can choose. But there's one tree that is so important. That tree speaks of, if you choose this tree, you eat this fruit, you will die. When you die, that means you won't see me again. You choose a way out. So that tree speaks of God honored man. If you want to be with me, don't eat that tree. If you hate me, if you want to leave me forever, you can eat that tree. So this is giving man an opportunity to say no to him. If you love somebody, would you like that one to reject you? No. But if you don't give him a choice, he stays. Does that mean anything? This love means anything at all? So if this room has no door to go out, I say, oh great, everybody loves me and stay with me. Great. But you may hate me. But there's no way out. I can't get out of this room. So you imagine I love you, but actually I don't love you. Paul, if there's a door, I'll open the door and I can go out. So out of my love to you, I will open a door for you. Those who wants to be with me, welcome to stay. Those who doesn't want to be with me, open that door, you can go out. Then I know, if you stay, that speaks of your love to me. If you don't want to stay, I know that you don't love me, isn't it? So I give you the choice. God being a God, God can make a decision. God has a will. So man can be like him. God can give. If he really loves us, if he really wants us to know love, he has to give us free will. Free will is the ability to make a choice. I love you, I love you not. If I love you, I choose to suffer for you. Just like the mother, if the child is sick, high temperature, the mother chooses not to sleep on that, but to get up in the middle of the night and come to take care of the child, the sick child. The mother can choose. That speaks of love. If it's a robot, when your body temperature goes up to 38, the robot come to bring you water. Does that speak of love? No. It speaks of technology. It doesn't speak of love. But when the mother chooses to suffer, get up from the warm bed, come to take care of the child, that speaks of love. And what does we learn from God? From Adam, God wants man can choose, love him or not. So what are the ingredients of that soup? in the beginning, I say, oh, that's garlic, that's celery, that's tomato. What is the man in God's heart? The man in God's heart is, someone asked Lord Jesus, what is the great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God. This love speaks of you choose to obey Him, choose to please Him. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So when you ask God, what is the most important thing you want in man? What is in your heart? What is the most important ingredient in man to you? God wants you to love Him. Not because my mother forced me to come to the English meeting. Not because all my friends are here. No. I come here, I make choices. I can stay in bed, I can go to some other games, but I make my choice to come here to know God. Because I want to tell God, you are important to me. I love you. This is love. So if you come here not because of love, not that good. But because you here, you want to. God, you are important. I want to know you. I want to love you more. That's the lesson we learn from Adam. So when we serve God out of love, when you serve there, when you serve here, when you're packing up the chairs, when you talk to brothers and sisters, out of love. I choose. I make my choice. My whole life, difficult times, I may suffer pain, I may suffer sorrow, but still I want to follow God. So God allows difficult times in our lives. Why? Because in eternity, God wants someone to really love Him. So that is what we learn from Adam. Adam made the wrong choice, but still we can see God wants people to love Him. No free will, no choice given, we can't show our love. So I hope this will help you to know the importance of love in our life. Love God in our life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for creating man, and we thank you for in the new creation you want man to be with you, but we know that you want man to love you, to be thankful for you, do all things for you. Even though in this life we can go through difficult times, but we pray that throughout all this you can see that our love to you. So we give you thanks for this time. Change our life. Do all things in love for you. In Jesus' name, Amen.